But I want to start out with John 14:6. Jesus made this claim, and he said this. He said, listen, nobody else can say this. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody goes to my Father in heaven except through me. That is a massive claim right there. Because what it does is if you look at false religion will have little bits and pieces of the truth in it, and they kind of speck it with truth a little bit, but then you get down to what they really believe, and it has nothing to do with Jesus. False religion leaves out that Jesus was crucified. False religion leaves out that Jesus is God. And as we look at this, we started last Sunday on exposing false things in the church. What do you look for? There's a lot of false stuff that happens in our world, and you don't want it in the church. So the book of 1 and 2 Peter really nailed false teachers, preachers, prophets. He really brought out the fact that you need to be careful. You need to keep an eye out. And we're getting into today and next week on the punishment for people that love the false. And Peter holds nothing back. The Bible doesn't hold anything back on this. I will say this, by the time we were done with first service today, there was an entire group of people in this place that were very excited that they are not on the wrong side of God. I can promise you. And we celebrated that. We celebrated the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God. But we also celebrated the power of God, because one day he will judge evilness and wickedness and sin. And it's amazing this morning as we go through 2 Peter, how they deliberately lie and say that Jesus is not going to come back, or that he never came the first time, or that there won't be a punishment for doing evil. This really, in this book, really begins to open this up. The judgment of everything false, part one this morning. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the word of God is 100% trustworthy, and anything other than that is false. The Bible is very clear. If you add to or take away from the Bible, your eternity is going to be damned. And it's very clear on that. That's how much God holds up his word, that we don't twist it, that we don't take away from it or add to it. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, this is my second letter to you, dear friends. Peter is showing that he loves the church. Okay, he's addressing them as dear friends. And I think that's very important in a church. It's not just about casual, hey, how are you doing? There needs to be friendships, and it needs to be a family. Because if we can't trust one another, if we can't do life with one another, then what are we doing? Because think about this, you're not only going to see each other now, but we're going to be in eternity forever if you claim to be a Christian. So that's a big deal. So the friendship there, dear friends, he says, and in both of them, those letters, I tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. What is he refreshing the memory on? I want you to remember what the holy prophets, not the false prophets, what the holy prophets said long ago, and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. What he's doing right off the bat is saying there's false prophets, there's false apostles, there's false preachers and teachers and false people in the church. I want you to listen up and remember that you only listen to one group, and that is the ones that I appointed. Those prophets, those apostles, and you have the written word of God. So church today, nothing's going to be added to the Bible by any type of revelation or anything like that. You have the written word of God in your hands. And I'm telling you, there's a movement out there that says that that Bible's not enough. And I'm here to tell you today that Bible's enough. That Bible's everything. You cannot add to the Bible or take away from it. If you do, you are in danger for eternity. And the treasure that you have sitting in your hands right now is the treasure of all treasures. It's an amazing thing from God that God gives us. So wholesome thinking, and to refresh your memory, he says this, I want you to know the difference between false and true prophets, false and true apostles, because many in your day are going to be false. Peter said many in his day, but then he talks about the future. And when you look at this, I want you to notice this, he's distinguishing between the true and the false, but you can bank on the Bible. You literally can trust the Bible, because the Bible says that it is from the Word of God. So when you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21, the Bible says this, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture, no Scripture at all, ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from any type of human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from who? God. So when you look at that, that's very important to establish that if you're going to have a belief system, you might want to know if it's from God or not. Is anybody with me? And you can trust that Bible. That Bible is God-breathed. If you're taking notes, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is breathed out by God or inspired by God. So when you look at what Peter says, that you need to remember and trust the holy prophets or the apostles that had the command from Jesus, those are the real people. They're not false. And we are to pay attention and remember what they taught. Well, thank God that we've got it in written form. Thank God we got the Bible. So what's interesting, last week if you were with us, and I'll recap a little bit, verses 21 and 22 of chapter 2 last week said that if anybody knows the truth and then they leave the truth to go to something false, it is a bad deal for them. The Bible puts it this way: it would be better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to know the truth or know it and then to reject the command that they were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb: a dog returns to its vomit, and another proverb says a washed pig returns to the mud. That's the picture of somebody knowing the truth and then rejecting and leaving the truth and leaving Christ. And what it does, it puts you back in the pig pen. It puts you back. It's a sick ending. I mean, who wants to watch a dog eat what they eat, vomit it up, and then eat it again? It's disgusting. And that's the point of this. Don't turn back to anything false. Don't turn away from the truth. And again, it shows the demise of the false and who follows them. And then the true prophets warned all through the Bible, Old Testament and New, that there would be a coming judgment against ungodly, false things, and that Jesus Christ would return a second time. And as we look at this, you would be shocked today. You would be amazed today at how many people do not believe that Jesus will come back a second time one day. It is shocking. Even people in this area. We have people that have already taught that the book of Revelation has already happened, that Matthew 24 has already happened. Church, that's impossible. When you look at the details and the coming back of Christ, that has not happened yet. It will happen. And people mock the second coming of Jesus constantly. Here's what's interesting. When you look at even the Psalms, the Old Testament talks about it. Psalm chapter 50 puts it this way: the Lord, the mighty one, is God, and he has spoken. He has summoned all humanity from where the sun rises to where the sun sets. That's the whole world. From Mount Zion to perfection of beauty, God shines in glorious radiance. Our God approaches, and he is not silent. Fire devours everything in his way, and a great storm rages around him. He calls on the heavens above and the earth below to witness the judgment. And when you look at these scriptures here, this judgment is not against anybody that is godly. This judgment is against everyone that is ungodly. I want you to understand that. Anything evil, anything wicked in the world, Jesus is taking tabs on. And watch this next one in Isaiah. It says, the heavens will be black above them. The stars will give no light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will provide no light. I, the Lord, will punish the world. Notice he says the world. So this, he's talking about a future judgment that's going to happen on the world. Now, I will tell you this. I've been doing this for a long time, okay? And we have literally had people, when we hit topics like this or go through the book of Revelation, whatever it may be, there will be people that will never come back. One, they don't want to hear about it. Okay, but I was telling a couple buddies this morning I was talking to after the first service, I would much rather know what the Bible has to say, and I would much rather know that I'm on the right side than to put my head in the sand like an ostrich and then let the world come about like it's going to come about and be on the wrong side of this thing. Church, we are blessed to have the written word of God, even if it is very heavy at times. And I will promise you this, there's godly versus ungodly people, period. That's what it is. There's no middle of the road. You either are loving God or you're not. You either love evil or you hate evil, okay? And I'm not talking about the occasional sinning. I'm not talking, you're not perfect. We get that. God gets that. That's why he sent Jesus. But we're talking about a continuation in a lifestyle that says, I reject the truth of Jesus, and I don't want Jesus to change me. That's happening all over the world. So even in Isaiah, he says this, I will punish the world for its evil, and I will punish the world for the wicked and for their sin. I will crush the arrogance of the proud. I will humble the pride of the mighty. I will make people scarcer than gold, more rare than the find of gold of Ophir. And watch what it says here. For I will shake the heavens. The earth will move from its place. There's going to be a shaking one day, the Bible says. The earth will actually move from its place when the Lord of heaven's armies displays his wrath in the day of his fierce anger. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on that side. I don't want to be a recipient of that. Is anybody with me? And he's talking about the future that hasn't happened yet. Micah chapter 1, verse 4. The mountains melt beneath his feet and flow into the valleys like wax in a fire, like water pouring down a hill. It's a pretty intense picture right there. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Lord of heaven's army says, the day, notice it says the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. What that means is every false religion that is out there will be burned to the roots, because Jesus' kingdom will be the only one. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to a pasture. Has anybody ever seen a newborn calf that was just born, and when it figures out that it can run, you better watch out. Is anybody with me? It leaps all over the pasture. It runs all over the field. He says that's the joy that you're going to have when evil is stopped and wicked is stopped on this earth one day as a whole. Now, those are Old Testament. When we get into 2 Peter 3, Peter talks about that there was a flood and one worldwide judgment so far. There will be a second worldwide judgment, and it will be done with fire one day. Okay? Now, many people do not like these topics. But what these topics do is it shows you how thankful you should be that you have found Jesus Christ and you are on the right side. There should be a thankfulness in your heart with that. And I'll show you these scriptures. They're so powerful. The Bible goes on to say this in the New Testament with Jude. He puts it like this, verse 17. But you, my dear friends, notice he says that just like Peter. These guys loved the church. This isn't just a place where they go and whatever it is. They're doing life together. They're family. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They told you that in the last times, there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their, what kind of desires, church? So the godly person will not be the recipient of God's wrath or punishment. Notice he points out the ungodly. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. So he's saying they're even in the church. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. Somebody with the Holy Spirit in their life will follow the Word of God. And if you're following the Word of God, then God will bless your life. God will guide your life. You won't want to hurt Him or dishonor Him. When you get the Holy Spirit inside of your life, what happens is you begin to get a conviction like you've never had before. So when you begin to do the things that you used to do before you became a Christian, those things convict your heart and you don't want to break the heart of God. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, I didn't want to hurt my parents. My parents gave me a house. They gave me life. They took care of me. They got me the shoes I needed, the clothes I needed for school. They got all the supplies. I mean, I didn't have to worry about a thing. My parents took care of me. I learned as I got older, I didn't want to hurt my parents. How much more should it be towards our Creator that we don't want to hurt the heart of God? I mean, when you look at the bigger picture here, he puts it this way, and he says this in 2 Peter 3:3. Peter says, most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, he says the same thing as Jude did, that scoffers will come, they will mock the truth, and they will follow their own desires. So they're not having anything to do with God. And what's interesting is this. If I took the time to do this, I could break down false religions today to you. That was part of our studies as a pastor. And so I've really studied a lot on this. And here's what's interesting. You will find in every false religion a nugget of truth or even a few nuggets of truth. And then all of a sudden they will reveal what they're truly about. And it's pretty shocking. Because most of the people, when they pitch their false religion, will not pitch you the bad stuff. They'll show you the good. They'll show you the little nuggets of truth. And once they got you in, then they hook you on false religion. Christianity, from the start, gives you the bad news first. Is anybody with me? You're a sinner. You're going to go to hell. You need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to repent. You need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives you the bad news first, but then it gives you the answer that can answer anything, and that's Jesus himself. And that's the good news of what Jesus came and did and is doing for us. See, the Bible goes on to say this, and again, when you look at the scriptures here, verse 4 says that they will say. So Jesus told us, out of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? The mouth. That shows you that they are very evil people. They're false. They're liars. What comes out of their mouth is a lie. Their attempt is to deny the coming judgment and also to deny that Jesus Christ would ever return again. See, Paul and Titus reminded us of this hope. He tells us this in Titus 2:13, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day. See, there'll be a day of judgment, but there's going to be a day when he rescues us. We look forward to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be what? Revealed. And over 50% of the American church will tell you that they don't believe that Jesus is coming back a second time. It's shocking. Over 50% of the American church does not believe that Satan is real. So if you don't think you've got a great enemy, which the Bible calls Satan the great enemy, and you don't think that Christ is coming back a second time to fix what needs to be fixed in this world worldwide, you have no hope, my friend, because the Bible says it will get worse and worse and worse and worse. And when he comes back, he is the only fix and answer that we have. When you look at the Bible as a bigger picture, verses 5 and 6 put it like this of 2 Peter. He says this, they deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and that he brought the earth out from water and surrounded it with water. Then God used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty what? Flood. What's the point of somebody that's going to preach a false gospel? That there's not a coming judgment, and you don't have to worry about it. Jesus is not coming back. Why? Oh, because what happened was when God created the world, nothing's ever changed. Ever since God created the world, it's all been doing the same thing from the beginning. That's the lie. Because the Bible says, and Peter says, hold on a minute, time out, wait a second. You guys are deliberately lying to yourselves and lying to your crowd, because there was a worldwide flood, and that was the judgment and wrath of God for that time. There will be another one in the future, and it will be with fire one day. And this is where we lose the American church right here. I didn't come to hear this. I came to hear love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. It's all good, isn't it? We need a balance of that. But I'm thankful that the Word of God tells us what's going to happen in the future so that we can be on the right side. So that we can help rescue people for the right side. If you were in the military and we honored you today, I mean, listen, we're not stupid in this place. We know that you signed up to go fight the most evil of the evil people in the world. That's what you signed up for. To protect your country. To stop evil in its tracks. And if you had to stop the most evil of people, you signed up for it. Anybody with me? There's no mistake about that. There's evil, wicked people in this world, and there's billions of them. And here's the cool thing. We're watching people get saved. Our missionaries are bringing reports back of people getting saved out of Islam, people getting saved out of Hinduism. It's incredible what's happening around the world. But I will tell you, the people that are getting saved, there's just as many that say, we want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And they continue to do their false religion, and much of it is very, very evil. When you look at this church and the scriptures, the Bible even says this and points to this, that they'll deny Jesus ever coming back, that they continue to lie to themselves and deliberately forget, And then I want you to notice in verse 7 of 2 Peter chapter 3. This is very important because verse 4 says that by God's word, I'm sorry, verse 5 and verse 7 say the same thing. Verse 7, watch this. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment. Watch this. When all people of the earth will be punished? No. When ungodly people will be destroyed. The choice today in this period of grace is that you turn to the Lord and you give Him your life. That you live for Him. That you ask for forgiveness. That you live for His cause and Him as God. Because if you don't, there's only two categories, friends. It's godly and ungodly. There's no middle road. It's one of two choices. I mean, when you look at what the scriptures actually say, verse 5 puts it like this, and it says this, that it was by the word of His command that the flood came. So what He's saying in verse 5 and 7 is, if it was by my word that a flood came, I promise you this, it is by my word that fire will come one day. And church, that goes to show you how evil our world is going to be and become again. I showed you last week in Matthew 24, what did it say? As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the same when Jesus Christ comes back a second time. Put those two together. Next week, we're going to take a look at the days of Noah. We're going to take a look at the oceans of judgment and the book of Genesis. That's very important for us to understand because it says when Jesus returns, the same things are going to be happening that were happening when the flood came. So literally, He gives you insight to everything. It's incredible. The Bible literally reveals so much stuff that we can see and clues and be thankful for, but to give us a heads up too. And as you look at this, it's so powerful because God's not a man that He should lie. The Bible says that He is the way, He is the truth, and the life. He can't lie. So if His word put forth the flood, His word will put forth the fire one day. The flood literally drowned the entire earth. I love the explanation from these fools that are out there on how fish fossils got up to the top of a mountain. Anybody? The answer to our wise world is that, oh yeah, the fish grew feet and they walked up the mountain. I think it's a little easier to believe that God flooded the earth and literally swallowed the mountains. I mean, think about that. It's incredible that what people try to come up with to discount God or His word here. They're scoffing at Him. They're mocking Him. See, the water used to come up from the ground. It would be the dew and the springs that watered the entire earth. They had never seen rain before. So when God put Noah and his family on that ark and shut the door, the Bible says God shut the door so nobody could come in. So God sealed it. Very important to know because there was only 8 righteous people living for the Lord at the time. They had never seen rain before. So could you imagine them standing there and all of a sudden, right there on their forehead, they look over at their friend and like, did you just spit my way? They've never seen rain. But then another drop hits them, and another drop hits them, and another drop hits them, and then all of a sudden the heavens open up and rain pours down. So fast, the Bible says, it sweeps them away. That quick. So when you look at that, there are things that those humans never saw before, and they mocked at, they scoffed at, they laughed at, but yet it happened. It is hard for us to understand sitting in here today that one day this entire world is going to burn one day. That's the future prophecy. But can I, listen, some of you guys are freaking out right now. I'm telling you, I've been doing this for a long time, and every time we preach on this, somebody freaks out on us. Listen, don't freak out on us over this. You have a way to be able to escape the wrath and punishment of that day coming. And His name is Jesus. I mean, all we can do is go off of one worldwide flood. So if you have the flood, you have to look at the story. Okay? The ark was the ark of safety for the righteous people because the punishment of God's wrath and judgment did not touch them, didn't harm them. Jesus is our ark of safety. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but but I've got a peace in my heart and a peace in my life that, listen, I'm not going to be a part of the wrath of God or judgment of God. Why would he take you out of his wrath and put you back in it? God wouldn't do that. Makes no sense. So church, as we talk on these things today, just know that these prophecies, that's why Peter started out in verse 1 through 3. I want you to listen and remember. Listen up to the holy prophets. Listen to the command of God that was given through the apostles. Don't throw those things out. Because what they're giving you is the truth. And if you know the truth will set you what? Free. So when you look at this here, we'll get to the good stuff in a moment. You guys hanging with me? Okay? The day of judgment. We're not there yet. Check this out, all right? 2 Peter 3:7, the Bible puts it this way. And again, he says, and by the same word, the present heavens and earth, which we have now, have been stored up for fire. That's a future thing. They're being kept, future thing, for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. Let me bring you some peace right now in your heart. If you have never turned to Jesus and you've never given him your life, you've never confessed him as Lord and Savior, and you're not living for him, please hear these scriptures. He came the first time to rescue you from punishment and judgment for eternity, because your sin will lead you to judgment. When he died on the cross, which all false religion will tell you he didn't, but Jesus died on the cross. He took that punishment upon himself, and he paid the full price so that you could spend eternity with God the Father and Jesus Christ forever. That's the good news. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him, not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith, none of these other people that add all this garbage to stuff, who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's the scriptures. That's the good news. That's the escape from the punishment and wrath. And the Bible goes on to say this. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son, Jesus, from heaven. He's saying, you guys are looking forward to this event? I mean, there's a lot of scary elements to this event. But watch what the Bible says. He says this, and they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. What he's pointing out there is Jesus is alive. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of what, church? The coming judgment. You want to pass something on to your kids? Pass on Jesus to your kids. You want to pass something on to your grandkids? Pass Jesus to your grandkids. You want to pass something on to your neighbors and the people that work with you? Pass Jesus on to your neighbors and the people that work with you. Because listen, unless they find themselves in Christ, they will be a part of God's wrath. That's hard for us to understand because there's so many decent, good people in our area, isn't there? I've talked on this before. It's hard for us to understand that somebody that would stop in the rain and help us change a tire and they didn't know Jesus would still be a recipient of God's wrath because they never turned to Christ. They've never asked forgiveness of their sins. It's hard for us to comprehend. But watch this. The scriptures are very clear. Look at 5:9. It says, for God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. I mean, church, what other good news do you need? It's easy to pick the side you need to be on, but the fact is it's hard to do it because it's a choice that's for your life. The Bible goes on to say this, and the scriptures are very clear. Hebrews 9:27-28. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after you die comes judgment. But what's the good news? So also Christ, verse 28, was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again. He will come back a second time, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Does that sound like we are to back off and put our head in the sand with the second coming of Christ? No, the Bible says you are to wait eagerly for his return. If you want historics, if you want proof scientifically, if you want evidence, that stuff's out there for Christianity. I would tell you this. I told you this last week. I've had people literally laugh at me about the prophecy of the Euphrates River. It's not a man-made prophecy. It's actually in the Bible. It says that Euphrates River will dry up, that there are four demonic influences in that area, and that the evil armies, the enemy armies of God, will march through the Euphrates River. That's the only place they can go. It has to be dried up so that they have a highway to go through. It's happening right before our eyes, and people still mock it and laugh at it. That's not happening. Oh, okay. Well, hold on just a second. I got something called a smartphone. Let me Google this real quick for you. Let me Google the prophecy in the Bible, and then let me Google you the pictures of the Euphrates River, and they still don't want to see it. And church, if we keep putting our heads in the sand and we keep ignoring these things, it's going to catch up with people one day. You go, how could you be excited about prophecies like that? Because I'm looking forward to my Lord and Savior coming back one day. The Bible says when he comes back, he will take care of the wicked and the ungodly, but he will also, there will be no more pain, no more death, no more tears. Think about that. He will be in full reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says that we need to watch our mouth. Watch what he does. He holds the ungodly accountable. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word that you speak. What he's talking about is every ungodly word that you speak. Everything against Jesus, everything against truth. Mocking it, scoffing it, putting it off. People with their own mouth will be judged one day by going, yeah, that guy told me about I need to give my life to Jesus, but I'm not ready to do that yet. That's idle speaking. The truth was presented, you put it off. But it's not just with your words. It's also with your actions. Look at Revelation. Revelation chapter 20 puts it like this. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. This is the picture of the future here that's going to happen one day. And notice this. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had what? Done as recorded in the books. Let that sink in for a moment. I've used this as an example many times. This is not how it's going to play out, but this is how we think it's going to play out at times. So when I stand before God one day, I'm not going to be able to have Pastor Greg to my left, okay? I'm not going to be able to have Brandon to my right. God's not going to go, hey, Greg did so good in these few areas, and Jerry, you were horrible at this. And Brandon, you did so good with this. And Jerry, you did horrible with this. That's not how he's going to judge us. How he's going to judge you is he's going to open up those books and he's going to judge you according to what you actually did. That is why we say if you have secret sins, you don't have secret sins. They'll be exposed one day. That's the beauty of God is that he says, listen, give everything to me. And listen, let's be real here. Our thoughts and our hearts can be very evil at times. Our thoughts and our hearts can be very enticing at times. And so the offer of Jesus is get rid of it all now so that you don't have to pay later because I took the full payment for you. And church, watch this. This is so powerful here. It says this, and the sea gave up the dead, and the death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. You can't blame anyone else. You can't throw it off on anyone else. It is what you have done and you have done personally. And here's where pride and arrogance comes in. Yeah, I read that, but I'm not worried about it. I'll do whatever the heck I want to do. Who is the Bible to tell me how to live? Who is that preacher to read scriptures like that and tell me how to live? Who is that Christian to try to hold me accountable and tell me how to live? Did you remember the earlier scriptures we read where Isaiah said Jesus will come back and when he does, he will crush the arrogant? That's pride and arrogance. I'm just telling you, the gift that is offered right now in the invitation to receive Jesus and his grace and to be forgiven now, one day that will be too late for people. And watch these scriptures here. Romans chapter 14 verse 10 says it like this. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Why are you judging being judgmental towards other believers. Watch this. Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Accountability in the church is a big deal. We are to keep each other accountable. And I've shared this before. None of us are perfect with this. But if you see the heart where you try, that's the heart behind it. There are people in churches that say, don't ever keep anybody accountable because that's God's job. Well, let me tell you, that's a total lie, because the Bible shares over and over again, we are to hold one another accountable and trying to work through situations to hold people accountable. That's the Bible. Okay? And again, if you've ever been offended at someone because they didn't handle something right, then go talk to that person instead of being in sin and holding it in your heart against them. That's a sin. The Bible says if you've ever been offended by someone, go talk to them and lay that out and get it fixed. That's how that's supposed to work in the church. Because the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:10, everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody will give an account. We'll give an account of what we did, what was good, and what was bad while we were in this body. That's what the scriptures say in Paul. Right behind me on the screen. What a chance to be able to say, Jesus, your amazing grace is actually amazing. I have a chance to be forgiven. I want to show you these scriptures real quick. See, John chapter 12, verse 48 puts it like this. But all who reject me, and this is Jesus speaking, and anybody that rejects my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the what that I've spoken? Truth. What is the truth? It's the picture behind me right now. It's the Holy Bible. That's the truth. That's how each one of us will be judged. I won't be judged compared to Pastor Greg. I won't be judged compared to Chesley. I won't be judged compared to Brandon. Okay, I'm not going to be judged compared to Dustin. Dustin's not going to be judged compared to me. Jason's not going to be judged compared to me and me to him. We're going to be judged according to the Bible that we have and the truth that we have, because that's what the Bible says. You'll be held accountable by the word of the truth that Jesus spoke. And church, for us to say that we don't know what Jesus spoke is insane. How many Bibles do you have at your house that look like this next picture? Seriously, how many Bibles across America are that picture right there? And God just says, listen, dust this thing off and read it, man. This is life. This shows you who Jesus is. This shows you what he's going to do. This shows you everything about the future you need to know. It shows you everything about the present that you need to know to live now for him. It shows you everything. And it's the greatest treasure that you can have. It leads you to salvation. And James 1:22 says this. Here's the biggest deception in the local church. That you're here today and you hear this message and you feel good about what you heard. There's something good about it, but you don't go do what it says. He says, listen, don't just merely listen to the word of God, but do what it says, because if you don't, you deceive yourselves and you fool yourselves, thinking that, oh, I heard the truth and that's enough for me. What did James also say in another scripture? Faith without action is what? Dead. Church, this is the best news you could ever hear this morning. I know some of you are like, this is the worst news I've ever heard this morning. I mean, the book of Peter, 2 Peter, is just heavy. It's heavy for a reason, because what happens is if a church does not know these scriptures, then false people can come in and preach a false gospel, or they can get little groups together, and once those little false groups get together, it literally could destroy an entire church in a moment's notice. As we look at this today, I'm glad I know these scriptures. Let me give you the good news. Acts chapter 17, the Bible puts it this way, and since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold, silver, or stone. What he's saying is, he's not a God of false religions. He's alive. He's real. And watch what it says to do since he's real. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but something happened called the crucifixion of Jesus. And then he said, after that happened, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. Why? For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man that he has appointed. And he has proved to everyone who this man is by raising him from the dead. And his name is Jesus Christ. So I will tell you, being here for 28 years, I've watched families come and I've watched families go, because people don't want to have anything to do with topics like this. I can't tell you how many times I have heard from people, I didn't come to church to hear stuff like this. I came to church because I want a positive word and an encouraging word. I just gave you a positive word. If you'll get on the side of Jesus, you don't have to worry about the wrath of God. That's positive this morning. That's encouraging. Because we have a whole world that's going to be judged one day. That's the good news of Jesus. And the Bible says this in Acts 3:19, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. There's not a better message this morning than that. That's about as positive as you get. God doesn't cover your sin. He wipes it away. So that when you stand before Him one day, you're not going to stand before Him as condemned, but you stand before Him as a child of God who's been forgiven. What a difference that is that Jesus makes in a life. In closing today, the judgment is reserved strictly for ungodly people. And church, when I say this, when you start to look at false religion, it is billions of people. Now, our missionaries will send us information saying, listen, we have seen people get saved out of Islam. We've seen people get saved out of Hinduism. Man, there are people on our college campuses from all religions and walks. They're coming to our Chi Alpha services. They're coming to our on-campus services. They're giving their lives to Jesus. They're leaving the false religions. We're getting reports of that. But just as many people still reject Jesus. And we're talking billions and billions of people. So when we read these next set of scriptures as we close today, understand that Jesus came to rescue you from the wrath of God, but there will be billions that still say, I hate Jesus, and reject the truth. Watch what these say in closing. 2 Peter 3:7, and by the same word, the present heavens and the earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. That's not talking to people that have given their lives to the Lord and following Him. Verse 6 says this, and if we don't think that the future earth is stored up for fire, He tells us, you need to remember a couple cities that you've heard about called Sodom and Gomorrah. Anybody ever heard of those twin cities? The Bible says this and the surrounding area. Later, God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Watch how He puts it here. And He turned them into heaps of ashes. Now, I just gave you some good news earlier. This is bad news. Anybody with me? This is in your face bad news. Watch why He did it. We know that Sodom and Gomorrah had other sins according to the Bible, but watch why He sent the fire of judgment on them. He put it like this. He made them an example of what will happen to ungodly people, and what did they do? Look at Jude, verse 7. And don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire, and they serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's what? Judgment. Listen, these books all go together. And the point is this. These scoffers and these mockers that say Jesus isn't coming back and there won't be a coming judgment, they literally, look at all the scriptures they literally throw away. In church this morning, who wants to think about the earth on fire? Nobody. Who wants to think about wars? Nobody does. Who wants to think about ungodly, the most vile, wickedest, evil things happening on the earth, like in Noah's day? Nobody wants to think about that. But the fact is, the Bible's given to us so that we can balance out what's going to happen and what God can do in our lives or not. When you read these scriptures, I hope this morning that you see hope. Jude 1:4 says this, I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their ways into your churches. They're saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives, talking about sexual immoral lives, serving false gods, whatever. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. That tells me one thing. If you turn to Jesus, you're not going to go through the judgment. If you continue to reject Jesus, you're in trouble. Jude 14 and 15. Enoch. Guess when Enoch walked? In the book of Genesis, watch what he prophesied. Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation from Adam, he prophesied about these people. What people? The future. He said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless of thousands of his holy ones. What are they going to do? They're going to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things they've done for all of the insults that the ungodly sinners have spoken. That has nothing to do with the church. The church is his rescue mission. The ungodly will face punishment one day. And I don't want to be on that side. Tell me God's not good. Tell me Jesus isn't amazing. Man, you read these scriptures, and we don't have to be a part of that group of people. That's an amazing grace for us. That's the good news of Jesus. And when you go down, and the Bible puts it against verse 18 in Jude, they told you in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their own ungodly desires. They hate Jesus with everything they've got. That's why every false religion will tell you that Jesus is not God. Or if they do tell you he's God, somehow or another, that prophet is greater than Jesus. Church, it's worldwide. That's why there's going to be a worldwide judgment one day. But let me remind you of this as our worship team comes back this morning. But you, dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. What did he predict? Well, listen. Until Jesus comes back again, let me give you a few things that we should do. Verses 20 through 25 of Jude says this, but you, dear friends, one, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Two, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Three, await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. Until he comes back, live this thing out. Pray. Preach, worship, give, live for Christ. And then watch what he says here. This is so powerful. He says this, in this way, if you'll do these things, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And then watch this. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. If I see a brother or sister in Christ that's slipping away, I need to reach out to them. I don't want them falling back to where God brought them out of. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a man returns to his sin. As a pig returns to its mud heap again, so a man leaves the faith and returns to sin. I don't want to see Christians do that. So he says, until Jesus comes again, make sure you reach out to people who are struggling in their faith. Verse 23, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. There are people that you know that literally are living the most ungodly, wicked lives. You know them. You graduated with them. They could be your neighbors or friends. And the Bible says, rescue them from these things. Get in their face. Tell them that if they die, they're going to die without Christ and it's going to be hell for eternity. That's a pretty in-your-face verse right there. He says there's times to do that. Show mercy to others still. And watch this. But do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Don't let their sin enter yours. Now, all glory to God. He is able to keep you from falling away until Christ comes back. He's able to keep you from falling away from the faith or getting entangled in sin again, that old way of life. And watch this, will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single what, church? Think of that. That's so hard to understand because I have screwed up thousands of times. And my wife would say, amen, right? How many of you guys are with me? You have screwed up thousands of times. How can you stand before God one day without fault? It's only by one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. One person. And how do we know that? Verse 25, all glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, all majesty, all power, all authority, everything is his, all time, in the present time, and later in time. And guess what? Everybody said what? Amen. Man, that's a great set of scriptures right there until Christ comes back on what to live like, on who to be, reaching the lost. Encouraging the other believers. And keeping your eyes on the people in the church and making sure we don't fall away. If you'd stand with me today. I would love to pray over you before we sing our last song and get dismissed for the week. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your word. Your word is so powerful. God, as we've seen over the years, there's a lot of people that don't want to hear the book of 2 Peter because it tells us of things that happened in the past and things that will happen in the future. And a lot of people don't like to hear that. But God, I'm thankful here today, and I know that there is many here with me that are thankful for your word, thankful that you've given us a warning and heads up about what's going to happen to people that reject you, people that reject Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for all sin, the open door for eternity with you forever. God, we pray that you would protect our church from anything false. You would protect our individuals and our families of the church from anything false, God. God, we know that we're human. We know we make mistakes at times. But God, we also know that you're here to help us. I pray today that your hand of protection would be over this church, over the families, over the individuals, over the marriages. Father, please protect our kids. In this culture, in this age, they've been exposed to things that only adults should see, that only adults know. Yet 8-year-old and 10-year-old kids know just as much. Father, protect our children. And God, I pray that you would put it on the parents' heart to put safeguards in place to protect their kids. God, we don't want to be a part of anything ungodly. We ask that you would put your hand upon each one of us and guide us through your word and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you would sing this with us in response to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, here we go.